All right, Alexander, let's talk about Biden's marathon press conference, his presser that he gave yesterday. It was a marathon for Biden, pretty much two hours.
Yeah.
Not bad. I don't know what they're giving him, but damn, it worked yesterday, no doubt about it. Even Biden said it over and over again. He was very proud of himself. He's like, we've gone an hour and 20 minutes now. Any more questions? I mean, he was happy that he was still juiced up after a good hour 20 minutes. And he wanted to let everybody know that the conference was heading into 2 hours. I mean, I think that was part of the plan. Let everyone know that you have the stamina to do 2 hours. And he made it known. But anyway, the rest of the conference was pretty much a train wreck. A lot of domestic policy questions. One of the journalists asked him about his mental health as well. Biden had a lot of moments where he kind of froze. There were moments where he messed up and he said a lot of strange things. He gave himself a lot of pats on the back. You know, he said he's doing a great job and he's pretty much the best president since Washington or Lincoln. But, you know, the Russia one is, there was a line about Russia and Ukraine, which irked a lot of people. That was probably getting the most attention. That one in the mental, his mental health question, where he said that, you know, he may not take action against Russia when it invades Ukraine, because everyone knows that Russia's going to invade Ukraine, right? That's the common thinking, at least. You know, we've been saying otherwise, but you know, whatever. The question was Russia invading Ukraine, and Biden was like, "Well, if it's a minor incursion, then you know we may respond in a minor way." I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said, and everyone just lost their minds over that because everyone understands the national security interests of the United States vis-a-vis Ukraine and how important it is for the United States to make sure Ukraine's borders are safe and secure. Anyway, a train wreck of a presser and a lot of interesting sound bites from Biden.
Absolutely. Now, I thought every part of this press conference was a disaster, and it shows why it's extremely dangerous to leave Biden answering questions. Somebody seems to have decided that, you know, this was his poll ratings are collapsing. There's all this talk about him being unfit to govern. So they had to put him in through a proper press conference. And it was a shambles. Every part of it was a shambles. I mean, we'll come to the Russia things in a moment, because, of course, they're the ones that have attracted the big international attention. But the points that he was making about the domestic policy, they were all over the place. They were barely coherent at times. And for me, the one that really cut through for me, and I'm really surprised that people haven't been saying more about it, was when he said that, you know, only 11% of shelves are empty. I mean, 89% of shelves are full. So that means it's only 11%. I mean, I don't know where he gets that figure from. But anyway, but, you know, only 11% of shelves are empty. So there's actually nothing to worry about. Everything is going so well. I mean, people who know otherwise must be feeling incredibly angry when they hear things, when they hear the president talking that way. And they must be saying to themselves, what kind of information is the man in the White House getting? And I think the other thing that came across to me from this press conference is that, you know, this is supposed to be the president, you know, the great unifying president, the president who was going to bring everybody together, end the partisan divisions in America. This was an almost grotesquely partisan speech. It was, again, one of the most divisive speeches that I've seen a president give. And, you know, it had all sorts of weird things like, people asking him, you know, well, Mitt Romney complains that you don't talk to him. And then he sort of ambles away and burbles on about Mitt Romney being a nice and good man and things of this kind. It was so weird, so strange at times that I have to say, far from allaying concerns about Biden and his ability to run things, I'm sure it's reinforced them. But you're absolutely right. It's the foreign policy things that have eclipsed all the others. Because after all, we are in this atmosphere of crisis. Now, I want to say atmosphere of crisis because Everybody's talking about a Russian invasion of Ukraine, which, of course, the Russians are denying heatedly that they're even contemplating. So, you know, we're talking about deterring the Russians from launching an invasion, which they say they have no plan to carry out. But, you know, nonetheless, we have this atmosphere of crisis. So the world looks to the President of the United States to give a clear, coherent line. So first of all, he says he doesn't know what Putin is thinking. He then says that he guesses. He actually uses the word guess. He says, I guess Putin is going to invade. I mean, you know, the President of the United States guesses. He then starts talking about, you know, what might be in Putin's mind. He's trying to read Putin's mind. I mean, a president who doesn't even know his own mind, apparently, is trying to read Putin's mind. You know, he's trying to position China in Russia between China and the West. I mean, it's already looking incredibly bad. Then he's asked about possible divisions within NATO. He effectively admits they exist. He then talks about the fact that, you know, because there are these divisions, well, you know, it's a little itsy-bitsy invasion of Ukraine. Well, that won't really matter. We won't do all these terrible things that we might do to the Russians if they carry out a big invasion. So a small invasion is fine. A big invasion is not fine. And then he's asked later on, you know, is, you know, did you really mean that? Is that the impression that you gave? And then he laughs. And he says, well, you know, I guess I did say that. I mean, he doesn't clarify his statement or walk it back in some way. He doubles down on it. He tries to turn it into a joke. I mean, it's already beginning to look incredibly bad. And then he says that they're going to lock the Russian banks out of the dollar, which is, of course, actually, when you take a step back, it's a cack-handed admission that they're not going to disconnect Russia from SWIFT. And it's quite possible that the Russian banks will, in that case, continue to use the euro, which is, by the way, increasingly becoming the preferred currency of choice other than the ruble in Russia. And so, you know, already it's beginning to look that things are not quite as firm as they look, that he effectively rules out Ukraine joining NATO. He says, oh, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Well, that's refreshing, but was this the moment to say it when he was supposed to be standing by Ukraine? And he says, well, you know, we're happy to talk about missiles with the Russians. So he, far from giving, you know, an appearance of firmness and strength, he gives this appearance of incoherence and muddle. And at the same time, he's highlighting divisions within NATO, which, of course, increasingly are becoming increasingly visible and increasingly difficult to deny. Now, if the Russians were watching this, if Putin was watching this, and Putin's a very busy man, he's meeting the president of Iran at the moment, and it would have been very late at night in Moscow. But if Putin was looking at this, he must have said to himself, well, the old man really needs to take a rest because he's simply not up to this any longer. I mean, that was how it came across to me.
Yeah, you know, Biden can't keep this lie going. I mean, this whole Russia invasion thing is so stupid.
I know.
And I have to say this, the fact that I've seen media on the left, in the middle, and on the right actually buy into this Russian, you know, Russia's going to invade Ukraine stupidity really shocks me. And I'm talking about mainstream media and independent YouTubers as well.
I know.
The fact that they parrot the Washington Post and New York Times anonymous sources that Russia is going to invade Ukraine is, I don't get it. I really don't get that they can dispute New York Times articles, which deal with 99% of the news, and they can discern that that's fake news. But when it comes to Russia, Ukraine, oh, well, if the New York Times says Russia's going to invade Ukraine, then it is. Anyway, Biden can't keep this lie going. It's too jumbled up, and it makes such zero sense that even Biden gets lost in trying to transmit the fiction of this Russia's going to invade Ukraine. Russia's going to invade Ukraine, but Russia's saying we're not going to invade Ukraine. Yeah. And Biden's like, well, they're not. But maybe if it's a little bit, maybe if it's a lot, you know, NATO's all over the place. So Biden's like, yeah, you know, NATO's doesn't agree. And, you know, Ukraine's never going to get to NATO, even though they've been telling Biden to say, no, Ukraine is going to get it to NATO. Well, you know, Biden's in his head. It's just all confusion.
Absolutely.
And he can't, he's not capable of pulling this off.
No, and I'm going to
Obama may have pulled this off. Obama may have pulled this off, but Biden can't pull this off.
I completely agree. Now I'm going to say what my view about this whole ludicrous affair from start to finish has been about. I've been after this press conference. I've come to my own view about it. I think this was entirely a media operation carried out by Biden's PR advisors. They see how his popularity is sinking, how his approval ratings are collapsing. So what they said was, what can we do to save this presidency? We're going to create a kind of Cuban Missile Crisis type situation, and we're going to have Steely Joe playing the role of JFK, putting the evil Russians in their place. There was this face-off with the Russians in 1962, in which allegedly the Russians blinked first. And this is what they were going to do. They were going to set up this whole story of this Russian invasion thing. And they were going to have Biden, as I said, as the JFK of today. Well, of course, as you absolutely rightly said, the fundamental problem with that kind of thing is, firstly, this isn't a Cuban Missile Crisis, despite the fact that some people are talking about it in that way. This is a confected, artificial crisis, whereas the Cuban Missile Crisis was real. And the second is that Biden is not JFK. He is all over the place, as we've just seen. So what we're getting instead is this scrambling, disintegrating nonsense, the president guessing about what Putin is going to do, even as Putin goes off and has, you know, meetings with the Iranian president and carries on with his job. So, I mean, we have Biden putting on this chaotic performance in this news conference. He's got the Russians have now managed to get the United States to admit that they're not going to fight for Ukraine. Biden has admitted now that Ukraine isn't joining NATO anytime soon, probably never. And we've also got the Russians presenting their demands for legally binding security guarantees and divisions amongst the NATO allies becoming highlighted, with Macron now trying to exploit the situation, coming to the European Parliament, appearing to echo some of the Russians' language, also talking about the need for a new security architecture in Europe. So this is blowing up in their faces. And by the way, coming back to independent media and all these people who are falling for this absurd story, can I just make one point? There is one country that is now suffering consequences as a result of this phony story, and that is Ukraine. There is now panic about what's going on in Ukraine. Panic is now starting to take hold. Zelensky has had to come out and tell people to stop taking their money out of the banks. There's a run on the banks. There's apparently increasing now signs of panic buying. And we've had one of Zelensky's political allies coming on television and saying this whole story has no reality. It's no different from the situation that it was in the spring. And this is a Ukrainian MP, one of Zelensky's allies, and saying that stories like, for example, the story that the Russians were withdrawing all their embassy staff from Ukraine, that was fake news. You see that the Ukrainians, as a result, are now feeling the pressure out of what I strongly suspect all along was just a PR exercise to try to save Joe's ratings.
Thank God you said that, because, you know, no other channels are really highlighting the fact that the people that are really suffering are the people in Ukraine. Zelensky really, I mean, he really effed this one up, because on the one hand, he's telling people, calm down, don't pull your money out of the banks. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen. On the flip side, as he was going off, you know, running around the globe, telling people, oh, no, let us into NATO. We're going to get into NATO. So he was talking out of both sides of his mouth, and he really effed this one up.
Well,
you know, obviously, there's a lot of people that benefit from weapons coming into Ukraine and the money of the military-industrial complex and all the corruption that takes place there. So there were a lot of people happy to see weapons from the UK come in because they probably made a ton of cash. But Zelensky, if he was a responsible leader, he would have stopped this way in the beginning, and he would not have continued to press on with Ukraine has to enter NATO. This is when he was outside the country. Ukraine has to, you know, enter NATO. Ukraine has to enter NATO. But now he goes to the Ukrainian people and he says, don't pull your money out of the bank. Well, you know, Zelensky, sooner or later, you're going to have to make up your mind. You really are. And you can see that a lot of people are gunning for his position as well. So he boxed himself in a big, big way. Russia can just sit back and laugh at all the madness that's taking place. But, you know, I have a simple question to all of this is, why the hell does the media, and I'm not saying the mainstream media, YouTubers, independent media, why do they continue to buy into the lies of Russia vis-a-vis Ukraine? Why do they continue to parrot the stupidity of Russia has already invaded Ukraine once? That's idiotic. Yeah. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. That's dumb. Why do they continue to say the stupidity of Russia annexed Crimea? That's dumb. That's stupid. Do some research. You'll find the exact opposite. They also feed into this neocon, neoliberal Biden JFK Cuban Missile Crisis moment by not pushing back against the stupidity of all of this.
Well, I know.
And I get very worried because you could have a US CIA's false flag, a Ukraine false flag take place in the east of Ukraine, which will trigger Russia to do something.
Well, of course.
And on a final note, and close out the video on a final note, a lot of people say Russia's going to have a hard time with Ukraine. Sorry. Russia is going to steamroll Ukraine. They're going to steamroll NATO. They will steamroll the United States military if it's in Ukraine.
Absolutely.
It is not going to be a fight for Russia. And people Absolutely. Need to understand that. And the Russians understand that. So all the nonsense has to stop.
Absolutely.
There is nothing for NATO or the US or Ukraine to win in this. But there's everything to gain for Ukraine if it decides to just sit at the table with Russia and make amends. And Macron is right. Europe should also make amends with Russia. And just put all this stupidity to an end, and everyone benefits.
I completely agree. By the way, it is a telling sign of our times that the only person who speaks any sense at all is Emmanuel Macron of France.
You're the only one saying that.
Yes. A man who is in almost every other respect a complete buffoon. He's less of a buffoon than everyone else. You're quite right. I agree with you on every other point that you've made. I have to say, I think a lot of people in independent media have got swept along by this fake glamour of war. And I really do believe this. I mean, you know, all these funny pictures, and maps and things that we read about, all this talk about, you know, technological machinery and people just fall for this. It's very easy to get into a trap of talking about these sort of things and, you know, counting all the tanks on the one hand and the tanks on the other and coming to all sorts of weird conclusions. What people need to do is to take a step back, forget about all of that, and look at the statecraft of it. The Russians are getting everything they want out of this crisis. They're milking this crisis for all it's worth by not moving a single tank. They've already got this admission that the West isn't going to fight for Ukraine. They've now got this public admission from a Biden, which has never been made before by any US president, that Ukraine isn't going to join NATO anytime soon. They've got the Americans talking about ballistic missiles in Europe, something that the Americans weren't prepared to do. They've forced the Americans to sit down and talk about legally binding security guarantees. They've smoked the Americans out time and again. Why would they want this to stop? By creating a war, which, yes, it would win them Ukraine, but it would win them a whole lot of other problems as well. Not, as you correctly say, the kind of military heroic resistance that people are talking about, which is nonsense. But the fact, you know, that there would be diplomatic problems, there would be economic problems, all those sort of things. Given that the Russians are already winning simply by doing nothing. I mean, that's, I think, you have to see the statecraft of this. Forget, as I said, all about, you know, the counting of the tanks and the airplanes and the fact that, you know, maneuvers happen in Belarus and sort of things that go on all the time. Put all that aside. Focus instead on the diplomacy, or on the statecraft. And at that point, you get a completely different picture. But in the meantime, as you absolutely rightly say, it's Ukraine, which is caught in the middle. Now they're trying to conscript women into their military, which apparently is extremely unpopular in Ukraine itself. We have what looks like the first signs of a run on the banks, panic buying in the shops. How does this all help Ukraine?
No one talks about that. No one talks about the 30,000 people that died in the East Ukraine, you know, for the Biden-Poroshenko war. No one talks about that. It's all Russia invaded and Russia did this. Final question, Alexander, with all of this, can you just explain what Russia really wants in all of this? My understanding is very simple. Russia doesn't want NATO to expand eastward to Ukraine and Georgia, number one. And Russia just wants a friendly Ukraine without all the damn Bandera neo-Nazis, which is something else no one talks about in the West. For a West that's so obsessed with fascism and the NAZI word, they really do forget about the Azov battalion and the NAZIs and the Banderites that are in the West. But anyway, that's my simple view of things. Just don't expand eastwards. And can we just sit down with Ukraine and just get back to our brotherly relations that we once had and that we will have in the future when all of the dust settles from this? I'm positive of it.
I agree.
That's what Russia really wants.
I agree with you. And secondly, why not carry out the simple exercise of listening to what the Russians themselves are saying? Because they are saying exactly what you've just said. They don't want NATO expanded east. They said that's a red line. They don't want NATO missiles, offensive weapons in Ukraine. That's a red line. They've made that very clear. And they want a settlement of the situation in Ukraine on the basis of what was agreed by the United States as well. The United States voted for it when the Minsk agreement was put to the UN Security Council. They want a settlement of the internal conflict in Ukraine along the lines of the Minsk agreement so that the crisis in Ukraine is over and Russia can have peace on its western borders and can focus on its own development. That's all they want. They don't want anything more than that. They don't want a war in Europe. They don't want a conflict with the West. They want to go ahead and have peace and quiet on their borders so that they can focus on their pressing internal problems. That's all it is.
Can I ask you one final thought? I mean, isn't it kind of arrogant for the West and for so many people to sit there and say that Russia wants to invade Ukraine and wants to do so much damage to Ukraine, when I'm positive that Putin is definitely not a dumb man, that's for sure. And the people around Putin are not dumb. But they realize that, yes, they could take over Ukraine in a matter of days or weeks, but why would they want to do that? It doesn't benefit them. God knows Russia has enough land already. I mean, that's for damn sure. What do they need Ukraine for? And it's very arrogant in that, you know, people kind of discount the fact that these countries are historically linked. These countries have family ties to them. I mean, you know, Russians are married with Ukrainians. You know, these are families and brothers and cousins that have been torn apart. They share a religion. They share a culture. I just find it so arrogant that you have, you know, people in 5,000 miles away that sit there and say, oh, Russia wants to invade Ukraine and they want to wipe them all out. It's just such arrogance and stupidity.
And ignorance.
And it really unnerves me And ignorance, yeah.
And ignorance. I mean, I have to say,
your thoughts on that.
Well, the level of ignorance is astonishing. I mean, our defense secretary, Mr. Wallace, Ben Wallace, has published a historical essay, as he thinks, about Russia's relations with Ukraine, in which he makes the incredible claim that Ukraine has been independent of Russia for far longer periods than it's been united to it. I mean, I just don't know what he's talking about. I mean, this is such a weird comment and such a weird claim that it's just bizarre. And I mean, he clearly has no understanding of this. And I do wonder, honestly, where he got that idea from. He refers to a professor, Andrew Wilson, but I mean, there's so many proper historians who could have corrected him on this. So they don't understand that. They don't understand the depth of interconnections between Russia and Ukraine, Russians and Ukrainians, all of them Eastern Slavs. The fact that there are many Russian speakers in Ukraine, that didn't feature in Ben Wallace's article. It doesn't feature in any Western commentary, by the way, or barely does. And, they don't look at or address those sort of things at all, nor do they understand very much about Russia itself. Over the course of this train wreck of a press conference, Biden actually said that oil and gas account for 45% of Russia's economy. I mean, that was perhaps true, you know, in about 1997. I mean, probably not actually, but I mean, it's more like 10% now. I mean, it is so completely wrong that one wonders again. And this is the president of the United States, mind you. It does make you wonder what information he's actually getting, and who are the people who are advising him.
It's incredible, 45%. It does feed into the narrative, though, of Russia as just a country masquerading. What is it? What do they always say about Russia?
Station.
A country masquerading as a gas station or
gas
something
station.
Like that.
So, yeah, as a gas
that
station.
That clever.
Yeah, masquerading as a country. It was John McCain.
Right.
Not
right.
Somebody you should perhaps attend to too closely on matters of this sort.
Yeah. No one mentions McCain's Maidan speech anymore.
No.
Or Newlands cookies.
Or all those European officials turning up on Maidan and doing all those sort of things. Or the violence that took place then. Yeah. All of that is just
the snipers.
Forgotten. Yeah, the snipers, all of that. Yeah. It's all forgotten.
Mm. It really is. It's incredible. Anyway, we'll leave it there. TheDuran.locals.com, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U, and The Duran Shop. Use the code GOODDAY. Get 10% off all merch. Like that GOODDAY mug. Take care.